God is good, and all the time, amen. It's amazing when you think about the words to that song, face to face, you know, and there's a song that says, face to face with Christ my Savior, you know, and we think about that whole idea and the power that God gives us. And what a privileged responsibility he gives us. And I can remember we would have camp meeting, and you had to divide the pastors and the crews. And I'd try to find at least one working pastor to put on each crew. Because it's difficult. 80 people, you have 7 crews. It's hard to find. There's a lot of people willing. Some are willing to work, the others are willing to let them, you know. And so everybody got paid for being there. And so I told them, I said, the people won't work. And they don't even show up sometimes. And they said, well, what can we do? I said, you can give me the checks. And they said, what? I said, give me the checks. And whoever shows up gets a check. Whoever doesn't show up, their checks will be divided among those who do show up. And they said, we can't do that. It's their responsibility to show up. And I said, without accountability, responsibility is useless. And that's where we as Christians have gone awry. Yeah. The whole accountability. Now, Jay and I have had discussions several times. What has ruined our military? What has ruined our churches? We call it micromanaging. But the military calls it war in real time. People can't act until the top person gives them the order. Before we go there, let's bow our heads. Father, as we think about whose we are and who you told us we are, we need to be reminded over and over and over again that no weapon formed against us will prevail. We need to be reminded over and over and over again that it doesn't matter what we face, because the gates of hell will not prevail. What matters is whose we are. Father, we just thank you for the privilege of serving one who even the angels, when they come into his presence, say, holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. We thank you for the privilege of being here, because it is awesome in this place, mighty God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, through the Spirit's power and for your glory, amen. I want us to look at something just a little different, because the whole idea of God being in the details, I don't know if you've noticed, but the testimonies have been changing over the past few months. And what you're hearing is more details and how God is in those details. And when you think about that, you know, last week was Memorial Day, and we talked a little bit about Memorial Day. And I want us to carry that theme over a little bit. This is not a rhetorical question. I'd like an answer. In the military, who has the most authority? A general. And who has the least authority? Private. And if you were in the Navy, that would be an admiral. Or a seaman. In the Air Force, it would be a general or an airman. But it doesn't matter. There's always someone who has the most authority and someone who has the least authority. I have a question I'd like you to play with in your mind. When does a private have the same authority as a general? You ever think about that? That's the problem, Jay, with war in real time. That's the problem. We still have generals and we still have privates. A private, when given orders and to execute those orders, has the same authority as the general. When that private says, open the door, because he's on orders from the general, guess what? That door is going to open. When he says, we're not going there, see, and I've told you before, everything I needed to know about Christianity, I learned in combat. And they would send us off on missions, and no one but the one person knew the orders. Whoever was the leader of the group of five, the squad, whatever you want to call it, that one person knew where we were going, knew what we were doing, and when we got back, you ever hear, I don't want to know. You were given a mission. When you got back, they wanted to know, succeeded, failed, or aborted. That's it. If you succeeded, they didn't want to know how. If you failed, they didn't want to know why. See, you already knew why. And it doesn't matter whether the general knows why. Because here's, I don't know, maybe you didn't know this, but the general's not going to be on the front lines. So even if he does know, chances are he's never going to get up there. Now, in a few cases, you see, like Patton and some others, they go up. But as a rule, they don't go up there. The ones actually on the mission have all the authority. If they say stop, we stop. If they say go, we go. It doesn't matter what you're facing. Somebody has the authority. And it always comes from the top. I remember on our ship, an admiral was on our ship, and you'd say, well, an admiral, I mean, he has authority, and he's on our ship. And he didn't like it because the way we were dressed on board ship, he thought we should be in dress blues because he was on there. I mean, the admiral's on board. And the captain, who's not anywhere near the admiral, it was a 3-star admiral, and he says, Captain, I want all the men in dress blues. And the captain says, then my suggestion would be get your own ship. See, this is my assignment, and you're not in charge of my assignment. I'm in charge of my assignment. Now, the admiral could have said, everybody in the 7th Fleet has to be in dress blues. But he can't tell the person on that assignment. The person on the assignment has more authority because they're there. They're the ones executing it. That's why, as Christians, who has the most authority? God. Who has the least authority? Us. Except when you're on assignment. When you're given your orders. In Matthew. You know the story. The crucifixions taking place. And you know how somebody tells you the truth, and you know it's the truth, but you don't want anybody else to know it's the truth? So you try to make it like it's not the truth. I told you before, when They captured the Pueblo. At that same time, they had a race between a Russian car and an American car. And we got one of the papers out of Russia. And it said, two cars in the race. It said, the Russians came in second and the Americans came in next to last. See, they didn't want him to know the truth. I mean, what they said was true. The Russians did come in second. And the Americans did come in next to last. Well, that's what is going on here. And in verse 62, it says, the next day followed the preparation day. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, sir, now remember they called him a liar. They said he was not the Messiah. They said he was just going about and all he wanted to do was stir up trouble. And they say, sir, we remember that while this deceiver was alive, he said, after 3 days, I will rise again. What difference does it make to quote Hillary Clinton? At this point, what difference does it make? The man's a liar. Unless you believe him. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I didn't come as the creator. I came as the suffering servant. I only do the will of him who sent me. I'm on assignment here. Jesus never, ever, ever cast out a demon. He never healed a disease. He never forgave a sin. He never calmed the raging sea as the creator. He came as the private. One born, for goodness sake. He's probably the only one of us in this room, because see, I believe he's here now. The only one of us in this room that his mama never could have said, where were you born, in a barn? Think about it. He was about as low as you could get. And you think about what he did. And even those that called him a liar knew he wasn't lying. That's why I say we are so privileged to be living in this time period. Because we're getting to watch the second coming unfold right before our eyes. I don't know if you heard yesterday, unemployment 3.8, 3.9. You know, 0.8, 0.9, who's even arguing? The lowest since the 60s. We say it here because you're not going to hear it on the Communist News Network. You're not going to hear it on the fake news media. See, they know it's true, but they're not going to report it. That's what's going on here. So then they'd say, we need a guard. Here's the thing people don't understand. Hey, Jesus said, I'm going to come out again. They knew that was true. He also said, the gates of hell will not prevail. So do they really think that Roman guards are stronger than the gates of hell? And if the gates of hell aren't going to prevail, what makes the priest think, if he's going to come out of the grave, and I was a Roman guard, I'd be going, feet don't fail me now. And all Jesus would see coming out of the tomb was butt cheeks and elbows as I was running away. That's all he would see. I mean, they knew he was going to come out. And they, if they really didn't think he was going to come out, why wouldn't they guard it themselves? But then, in the next chapter, verse 16, 28, 16, the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? Can I just go back and you know, then my relatives are going to believe me? Here is Jesus. And some doubt it. Then Jesus came near to them. Remember what he said. I do nothing. I have no authority. I don't have any power. In and of myself, I have no power. I only do the will of the general. And let me tell you something. I can remember, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about a friend of ours, Denny Hufstickler. I remember when his father was in Germany. They shot him. German shot him. Put him in a German hospital. And they thought, we've got him now. By the next morning, his father had killed all the doctors, all the soldiers, and had captured the hospital, ripped the flag off his uniform, about a 3x3 flag, got some pins from the hospital, pinned it to the rope, and raised it above the hospital. Now you think, yeah, because when you are on the mission from the general, you do what needs to be done. It doesn't, he didn't wait. Could you imagine if that was real time? You know what? You're in a German hospital. You know what his daddy thought? Doctors don't have guns. If I can just get my hand on my gun. Jesus says, when I send you, you're going in my authority. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's why the model prayer says, on earth as it is in heaven. Who rules in heaven? God. Guess what? Here's the newsflash, devil. He rules on earth too. You just don't know it, or you won't accept it, or you won't believe it. It's like somebody saying, I have a cure for cancer. And you're going, yeah, but what are the side effects? Yeah. They just signed that bill, the right to try. Because here's it. Here's another thing I've learned in combat. We're going to get out of here. But how? I don't know, but we're going to try. Remember, the only person that ever escaped from a Vietnamese, North Vietnamese prisoner of war camp was from our ship. One. You can read his story. If you go online, you can Google it. Those of you who know how to Google, the rest of you, like me, go to the library and look him up. Lieutenant J.G. Dengler, the only one to ever escape. Why? He knew he couldn't, but I've got to try. I've got to try. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Because all authority, you go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always. For Denny's father, that flag said everything. I didn't take that hospital in the name of Hufstickler, or he would have put a big H up there. Boom. He put it in the name of the authority that sent him over there. When we go out and we go on a mission, it's always in the authority of the living God. It's like Mary was talking about her meeting she had this week. You think about that. I don't know who those people think they are. But we knew before she went in. Now, look, if the devil's good at something, he is good. We just heard a song this morning. You may have heard it sometime. Fear is a liar. Yeah. I just don't know what's going to happen. See, Jesus never said he would take the fight out of our life, only the failure. And look, I know what it looks like sometimes. I know it doesn't look good. I know it, but whose authority am I here in? Who sent us to do this? When you go and you pray for somebody, like Carol was saying, that's not your words. It's kind of like Jesus turning to Peter and saying, don't get too proud, Peter. You ain't that bright. When you pray a good prayer, you're not that eloquent. But I know who is. I remember being in college and taking an art appreciation class. And the only thing I really appreciated after that class was that I didn't have to take it again. And it was a former gay Baptist minister who was my instructor. And he would call me his cultural illiterate. He said, what is your goal in this class? I said, to get out. Yeah. Well, I'm going to teach. I already appreciate art. It's like, I appreciate singing. Why? Because I can't sing. See, if I could really sing, I might listen to somebody and say, man, they were a little off. I don't know if you noticed last couple weeks ago when Kay played. Did any of you notice the bad notes? Somebody said, you know, that piano needs tuning. Somebody. One person. Kay Price. She knew. All the rest of us are gone. It is awesome in this place, mighty God. Yeah. See, that's the thing. And nobody, she knew she was on a mission. Now, if God wasn't in charge, I should have stood up and said, who do you think you are? I mean, we're messing this up pretty good ourselves trying to sing these words. Yeah. No. Jesus says he moves people. He sends people. And I'm here to tell you, if he doesn't send you, another thing I learned in combat, I never went on a mission I wasn't assigned to. They have words for people like that. In the military, we call them idiots. When you don't have to go in the battle and you go anywhere, anyway, nobody wants to do that kind of... Look, how many times has God said, you need to go speak to this person? And you go, but I don't want to. You need to pray for this person. Anybody but that person. I remember the night I got a call to go down to the hospital to pray for somebody down there. Said to Kay, of all the people to get a call for, they call me to come pray for that person. But guess where I was an hour later? Down at the hospital praying for that person. Not because I wanted to. No more than I wanted to go into combat. But when you're given an order, see, when I get a phone call, sometimes I hear it and I go, this is an assignment. It's not always what you want, but it's what God is asking you to do. And Jesus says, if we go, he has all authority and he's given it to us. In John chapter 20, he says this in verse 21. Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Wow. See, can't should not be in the Christian's vocabulary. Yeah. I don't sing. It's not that I can't sing. Because if God wants me to sing, I told them this morning, we were in the kitchen. I said, one of these days, I'm going to get up here, and I'm going to break out in the song. You know, that's my equivalent to speaking in tongues, Mary. Yeah. I've even toyed with the idea of having Jay record something, you know, like Ray Bolts or something. Yeah. And then I'll be preaching, and I'll say, I'm going to sing for you. And I'll kind of lip sync it. But it will be Ray Bolts coming across. Yeah. And all of you, you wouldn't be laughing, then you'd be gone. Wow. Think about it. But Jesus says, how did God send Jesus? No form. He wasn't desired. You know, last time we were getting gas, Kay looked over at this guy. I mean, he had a pickup truck that was raised, and he was standing down and cleaning all the way across the truck. You know, he said, whew, that guy's tall. Yeah, and he's got a lift kit on his truck, and he's still reaching across. I can't even reach my side of the windshield, you know. Yeah. One day, Eli said, what do you got the ladder for? And I said, I'm going to check the oil in my... Yeah. Look, anybody who told you all men are created equal lied. Yeah. That's a figure of speech. But all men have the authority of Jesus Christ. All men have the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe when God says, speak to the mountain and it will be removed. I don't believe he's saying, bring in heavy equipment. I don't believe he's saying, get dynamite. He says, you speak to that mountain the same way I spoke to the wind and the waves. And that mountain's going to have to obey you. Now, if he doesn't send you on that mission, like I said, I never went on a mission I wasn't assigned to. And I don't plan on starting now. There were some missions I tried to get out of. And I remember it was my one-year anniversary in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And I drove up to Stanton, Virginia. And I went in to the president's office, and I said, they only left me in Nam a year. You know, how long do you plan on leaving people in combat? And he laughed, and I laughed. I mean, he never answered. I walked out, but I was serious. You don't have to ask for it, but one thing I knew no weapon formed against me would prevail, not because I'm that good, but because my God is. I knew we didn't choose to go where we chose where we ended up. And that goes every time. Every time we moved. Yeah. We were looking for houses in Harrisonburg. And we got a call and said, I hope you didn't rent a house in Harrisonburg because the moving truck's taking you to Lynchburg. And they're picking you up tomorrow. We had already been looking up there. We didn't want to go to Lynchburg. And then from Lynchburg, they said, we have an opening. I said, well, that's nice. They said, would you like it? I said, no. And they said, let's rephrase that. Big Stone Gap is coming open. So would you like to go to Portsmouth? Big Stone Gap, Portsmouth. Let's see, you can't even get the Big Stone Gap and stay in Virginia. You have to go down into Kentucky, I think it is, or Tennessee to come around. You can't get there from here. You just can't. So I said, well, Portsmouth ain't bad. You know. Same thing moving here. See, God didn't want us pastoring that church. He just wanted us, you know, what's that song? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Yeah. This is where he wants us. He wants us at Promised Land. I haven't figured out all the details as to why yet. But I don't need to know. It's an as need to know. All I do need to know is that as the Father sent him, he sends me. After this, he says, he breathed on them and said, this is what scares churches. The next phrase, receive the Holy Spirit. I don't mind the Father sending you. But you're going to fight on my terms. This is going to be Christianity in real time. You know, you're not going to say anything without our authority. You're not going to do anything without our authority. You're not going to spend anything without our authority. We're in control here. And Jesus said, all authority was given to me. I give it to you. Now, if you're going to do what I did, and you're not, because you're going to do greater things than I did, you're going to need the same power that I had. I don't know how uncomfortable it is for some people when the Spirit shows up. But I know how comfortable it is for churches. I've seen how comfortable it is for churches. You know, I remember a friend of Aaron's, some of you may remember, that just was caught up in the Spirit and came up front one Sabbath and just fell down. I mean, and she went off. I mean, she was full of the Spirit. I mean, couldn't control her. Just couldn't control her. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. The problem was, for the church, she was standing or kneeling or prone. She was laying on the floor, actually, right in front of me. And they didn't see it as the Spirit showing up. They saw it as human worship. When the Spirit shows up, we try to explain it away. Otherwise, we have to accept the fact that we're not in control. Because let me tell you something. If I was in control, wouldn't have happened. Because I know what people think. You know, I know how people think. Especially at that point. See, Jesus says, he doesn't say, I give you. He gives you the option. That's why when we pray, like we prayed for Juanita last week, and at the end we say, do you receive it? You don't have to receive it. Like the country song, you can feel bad if it makes you feel better. Yeah. You can limp through life. You can go powerless. Oh, I wish this would happen. I wish I... Yeah, my mother-in-law used to say, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. And people don't even know what a horse is now. That's something you see in a, I was going to say a circus, but they're not allowed to have circuses anymore, are they? Jesus says, do you receive it? Do you want it? It says, if you receive it. I mean, is that blasphemous or what? If you forgive sins? Me? People say that's the only thing Jesus did on his own when he said to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. He didn't do that on his own. Because he said, I do nothing. I do nothing. That includes speaking to that woman. What he's saying is, the Father forgives you. When you tell somebody, you know what, you're forgiven. You're not forgiving them. You're letting them know God has provided the price. See, you're the private that's going out in the authority of the general. And he says, all authority has been given to me. And you say, how is that possible? After I left Vietnam, I was only an E5. You know, those of you who aren't military, that's not a private, but it's a glorified private. Yeah, it's not a whole. You're not a general. And I report to my next duty station, and they said, you're going to be our special services officer. I said, E5. They said, we don't care what your shoulder says. I'm the captain of this ship, and you're the special services officer. Guess what I did for the next year or two? Whenever we pulled in the port, guess who was in charge of any movies that came on board? Yeah. Now, before you think about a bunch of sailors and what they'd be watching and what I'd pick before I was a Christian, they had to be approved by the Catholic Church before they ever got their ship. So, I mean, we had choices like nuns in outer space or Mission Impossible. Well, a special services officer, naturally I was going to, it depended on, you know, how the crew treated me. Tonight's movie will be Nuns in Outer Space. No, we never watched it. We never watched that one. But I had the authority. Why? Because the commander gave me that authority. He gave me that authority. One time, a commander came and he said, I don't like the wires that are going from the ship to the pier, and I want you to remove them. Because I was an electrician on board. And I said, well, they're our phone lines, sir. And if I remove them, we won't have any communication. He said, that's an order. I want them removed. He's a commander. I'm an E5. So I go to the captain's cabin. I knock. I said, Captain? He said, yes. I said, I'm here to remove your phone. He said, what? I said, Commander Volpeter says you can't have a phone. He said, what? I said, I don't know. I'm just obeying orders, Captain. He said, you tell Commander Volpeter I want to see him in my cabin right now. See, The thing is, if you have any question about anything, rather than doing all that work, go right to the top. When you have a question concerning, should I do this, shouldn't I? And you come ask me, that's asking the commander. Go to the captain. Yeah. Go to the general. Ask him. Go right to the top. You know, should I stay or should I go? Yeah. Guess what? Those wires were never removed. Yeah. Because I got new orders from a higher authority. Jesus says, look, I'm giving you the most powerful weapons. I'm trying to think of how it would be worded today. Oh, yeah. I have a bigger button, and my button works. That's the way it would be worded today. When somebody threatens you, I don't care what they say. I don't want to keep people down. See, somebody said the other day on a TV show, we have North Korea on their knees. No, he doesn't have North Korea. He has them in the crosshairs. And that's where we put the world, in the crosshairs. Because this is where the power comes from. It comes because he gave it to us. It's not our authority. It's not our power. It's his authority. It's his power. And it's for his glory. That's why we can sing. It is awesome in this place. Because, and maybe you could put that word in there, because of mighty God. It is awesome in this place. Thank you, Daddy. You know, that's why we do what we do. That gives us the power to do it. Think about Jesus knowing who he was and not being able to do anything. I mean, think about these two things. He's at trial, and Caiaphas asks him a question. And here's what Jesus is thinking. Before you were formed in your mama's womb, I knew you. Who do you think you are, Caiaphas? He could have said that. Yeah, he could have said that. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. And he could have come. But he was on a mission. And it wasn't until the mission was completed that the Father said, all authority is yours. All authority. See? And as we come, people, we're on a mission. Soon and very soon, I believe Jesus is coming. I believe we have been called for such a time as this. I believe we're living in the most exciting time in Earth's history. We're getting to watch people. It doesn't matter. It's boomerang news. You know what I mean? No matter what they throw at Christians. I mean, think about this. I don't know if you realize a new cabinet position was created this week for Christians, a Christian representative in the president's cabinet to defend Christianity in our country. How did we miss that? But it was. I'm trying to think of the guy's name, right? You can give it to me, Lord, if you want to. If you don't, it's unimportant. But it was a former senator is now. His job on the president's cabinet is to defend Christian rights in this country. Yeah. That stuff doesn't just happen. Well, it's because we have such a fine Christian in the White House, right? No. It's because somebody knows they have no right to be there. And they know who put them there. And they know if they don't do what they're told to do, even if they don't want to do it, you have to do what God tells you to do. Because, see, the new slogan for 2020 is going to be, I saw him advertise it, keeping America great. See, I think it should be promises made, promises kept. Yeah, He needs to consult me, don't you agree? I didn't hear any amens, but yeah. Promises made, promises kept. Why? Why this person? Because that's the way they live their whole life. Yeah. Promises made, and we're not talking about marriages, we're talking about jobs. Yeah. Promises made, promises kept. I'll get it done under budget and ahead of schedule. God says, that's my boy. Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. You know what Zerubbabel means? Born in Babylon. Talk about born in Babylon. Queens, New York. That's as close to Babylon as you can get. There is a Babylon, New York, but, you know. Zerubbabel. I need to rebuild this wall. Who am I going to get? Get born in Babylon. Zerubbabel. You know. If you forgive any sins, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. If they don't want it, people, they don't have to have it. If you don't want the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to take it. Yeah. You can have Christianity as usual, business as usual. You know, that's the get out of the way crowd. See, Lee Iacocca, lead, follow, or get out of the way. There are only three positions. You know, you can lead, and Jesus has called us to lead. And you go, then why isn't it a mega church? I don't need a mega church. I need a mega God. See? Because when I see, it's still one person. It's always one on one. When Jesus did his most mighty miracles, it was always one on one. The miracle wasn't feeding the 5,000. The miracle was that little boy. One on one. What if I give all? Yeah. Can you imagine that little boy 70 years later, his grandchildren coming up, and they say, tell us a story, Grandpa. He said, well, let me tell you about the day I went to hear a man speak. And I had two sardines and five biscuits. That ain't much. Well, you might not think so. But let me tell you, grandchildren, when you give everything over to the one who has all authority, see, and Jesus didn't have it then, but he lifted it up to the one who did. That's us. All authority. I breathed on them. And if they want it, I mean, think about it. If they want it, I had a doctor in the Portsmouth church, and he was Seventh-day Adventist during World War II. And, you know, they're non-combatant. And they said, Doc, they said, we know you're Seventh-day Adventist non-combatant, and physicians carry 45s. Would you like a 45? He said, well, where are my orders? They said, we're sending you over to England as a flight sergeant. He said, I want two. One for each hip. Yeah. See, I need what I need wherever the Father sends me. Look, Jesus, anybody who told you Jesus fought fair, he didn't. It's not fair. He doesn't fight fair. He fights like this. My button's bigger and mine works. See, I know in whom I serve. And I may be a private, but I come in the authority of the general. And when I come into his authority, he tells me I can do what I need to do to get the job done. When does a private have the authority of the general? When he's on assignment. What does God ask you to do? I don't know. I think one of the best services we've had so far this year was when somebody was on assignment to go up front and play the piano. You know how long we've been trying to get that piano here? Betty can tell you. Over a year. What a coincidence that it just happened to be here when the sound system goes out. And that those of us that even though we know the song, we're like lemmings just sitting there. We can't keep singing because the words haven't changed on the screen. Even though we know the words are supposed to move, but they're not moving. So we'll just stand here and stare at the words. And then when we do sing, none of us know the words. But we sing anyway. That's assignment. And I still believe that brought a smile, well, maybe a belly laugh, to God. Look at him. Look at him, Gabe. No weapon formed against them. The power went out, but the power came down. Amen. Why? On assignment. Not us, one person. Now you think about that. One person on assignment. Probably neither prophet nor son of a prophet, but I'm going to crawl in the K's head. That's really bad. If I don't stop this, God's already putting his fingers in his ears. Somebody's got to do something. Think about it. On assignment, more power came out of an untuned piano than came out of the sound system that week. Why? Because a private was under the authority of the general. And when that happens, people, the gates of hell will not prevail. Nothing can stop us. Nothing. No weapon, no words. It doesn't matter what they say. Others you saved, yourself you can't. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me bring that into the 20th century. Here's your sign. Think about it. Then make your choice. Because the days ahead of us, I believe the way the Bible puts it is, the latter glory is going to be greater than the former glory. The way Jesus put it is, greater things, if you receive it, greater things you will do than I did. Woo. Woo. Do you get Jesus bumps when you think about that? If you receive it, let's bow our heads. Father, when we think about who our commander is, Father, I know we don't look like much. I know we're kind of like the island of misfit toys. But, oh, Father, those misfit toys can bring joy. They can bring happiness. They can bring peace. Father, use us. Not in our abilities. You didn't use your son in his abilities. You used him in yours. So use us in your ability, in your power, for your glory. Oh, Father, we've said it before. How often can we say it? How dare we neglect so great an opportunity? He breathed on us and offered us the power to raise the dead, the power to heal sickness, the power to relieve suffering and pain. Father, not through us, but through you, through your Son, through your Spirit. Father, fill this place. Send that mighty rushing wind when you need to, and the still small voice when you need to. But attune our ears to hear, this is the way, walk ye in it. And then, Father, as Denny used to often say, keep us in the grip. Keep us in the grip. Use us in such a way that as we come out of the storm, we will look back and say, what a ride. But I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Thank you, Father, for the opportunities you've given us in the past. And thank you, Father, for not revealing to us the opportunities in the future. But thank you for giving us those opportunities. And then, Father, empowering us to come out on the other side, on the still calm waters of your words. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of the Sabbath. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving. And Father, thank you, because you're about to turn this world upside down once again for your glory. Thank you, in Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. He says it this way. He says, I will pour my Spirit out on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. I will even pour out my Spirit on the male and female slaves in those days. I will display wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Then everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved. And he says, when that happens, young men may faint and grow weary, and young men may stumble and fall, but those who, when Jesus breathes on them, receive the Spirit, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.